Go ahead and turn with me, please, in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 11. Stand with me, please, if you would. Hebrews chapter number 11. And we will be reading a few verses there. Hebrews chapter number 11, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which doeth appear." Look on over to Hebrews chapter number 12, beginning in verse number 1 there. The Bible says there in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, as we come to Thee in prayer, Lord, this day, Father, we pray that Thou would be pleased to bless now the preaching of Thy Word. Lord, I pray and ask of Thee for liberty and wisdom now as I speak to these Thy people. And Father, I pray that Thou would cause me, Lord, to preach without fear or favor of men. Father, our only hope is to be found in Thee, and we certainly realize that. We love Thee and pray and ask these things now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to see Brother Minnie back there. Amen. And Sister Minnie, it's a blessing to see you folks today. And so it is good. The title of the message today is Putting Our Faith on Display. Putting Our Faith on Display. The writer of the book of Hebrews has just concluded a list here of many great people here in the book of Hebrews chapter number 11. Go on there to Hebrews chapter number 11 and look to verse 32 with me. Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse 32. The Bible says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak, and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise." Verse number 40, the Bible says, "God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." Beloved, the examples given to us here of the many saints of the Lord, we must realize and remember that the people listed here in the book of Hebrews, they are not superhumans. In other words, there are times that as we read the Scriptures, as we hear about the great acts of faith, that in our minds it seemed like we feel like, you know what, it seemed like apparently they had something that we don't have. I want to serve the Lord. I want to really wax valiant in fight, if you will. But the thing is, sometimes it seems like apparently they had something that we don't have. But the truth is, beloved, they were mere human beings just like you and I are, filled by the Spirit of God. And I'd like for us to realize here that it is not the people that are pointed to here in this passage. Think about it. Though their names are listed here before us, it is not just the people in the passage that are pointed out here, but rather, beloved, it is their great acts of faith that are held up before us. Amen. As we look at this. Faith is the confidence in God's willingness and ability to take care of us in the most dire of circumstances, if you will. Beloved, I want us to be clear on this. It is not always God's will to deliver us from suffering. You see, sometimes people, they will take and they will say, you know what? It is not God's will for any one of His children to go through hardships upon this earth. But beloved, the truth is that sometimes it is the Lord's will for His people to suffer.
Amen.
Sometimes it is. Can we always understand this? Can we always explain it? Not always. But we must realize here, beloved, that sometimes the Lord does allow suffering in the lives of His people. There are many, beloved, that such a God does not fit with their theology, if you will. You see, there are many people who they have a God, and in their mind, their God that they have made it and molded in their own mind, He is a God that they will hold up. And lo and behold, they say, well, you know what? The God that I want to worship, He is not a God that wants me to suffer. But lo and behold, when they go through times of suffering, it causes turmoil in their life because their theology is shaken. They get shook up, you see. Now, the acts of faith listed here are tremendous. What these people went through was not enjoyable, but rather, beloved, it was misery. And I'd also like to point out before we proceed on here today that it is through the acts of the faith of these people that we receive encouragement. Now, the title of the message, once again, is Putting Our Faith on Display. Putting your faith on display. In other words, beloved, it is a matter of us being able to take our faith and hold it up or put it in such a position that other people are able to see it. But we need to be careful here at this very point and to realize, think about this, the acts of faith listed here in Hebrews chapter number 11, beloved, it wasn't something enjoyable. You see, as we come together here today, hopefully everyone here today, as we've come together, beloved, hopefully everyone will enjoy our time together today. We're all able to come together today and sit back and take and say, you know what? This is enjoyable. It's good to hear this brother and sister playing on the strings. It's good to be able to hear people sing. And in many respects, it is a joy for us to be able to come together today. But what I want us to realize is that the acts of faith, which are recorded for us here in the Scriptures, beloved, as they were walking up the mountain. Abraham is there walking up the mountain. The Lord says, Abraham, Abraham, take thy son, thine only son Isaac. Do you think Abraham went walking up the mountain, going yippity-doo-dah, yippity-day? In other words, beloved, it was agony in his heart as he sat there thinking about, you know what? When I get up to the mountain, I'm going to offer my son as a sacrifice. You see, beloved, in other words, it was not necessarily something enjoyable. But rather, it was misery, if you will. It was agony, if you will. As Moses was leaving Egypt, he's forsaking fame, prestige, and eventually even facing the Red Sea, beloved. As Moses there, stop to think about it. In the flesh, Moses could have taken and stayed right where he was at and been the prince of Egypt, if you will. He could have gone ahead and come to stature, if you will. He would have been the stepchild of Pharaoh, if you will. But beloved, stop to think about it. He forsook all of those things and he wound up going out on the backside of the desert for a period of time. The people knew that God being glorified was more important than their personal comfort or even their families. Beloved, stop to think about Moses. While Moses is there, the Lord takes and the Lord says, Moses, I want you to go before Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. Do you think that would be an enjoyable thing to go before Pharaoh and tell him that? Realizing, you know what? He could just lop my head off in a heartbeat. In other words, beloved, if we long to truly put our faith on display, it very well may come to the point that it is not something always enjoyable. Now, we need to also realize today, beloved, that we do not admire. Everybody, try to stay awake. Amen. Listen up. We do not admire the faith which these people talked about. Think about it. In other words, we can hear about it. We may sit there and say, boy, I enjoy hearing about it. But beloved, the point is this. If David would have sat there before Goliath and said, you know what, I can take Goliath any day of the week. The Lord is able to take and deliver Goliath into my hand, and boy, he can do it just like that. We could listen to David talk about it all that we wanted to, but until the stone started flying, it would have been nothing more than talk.
Right.
You see, beloved, so many people today, they will take and sing about faith. They will preach about faith. They will talk about faith. We can read and write books all that we want to about faith, but few are the people who are actually living by faith in many respects. Once again, we do not admire the faith which these people talked about, but rather the faith which they exercised. You see, as we read there in the book of Hebrews chapter number 11, it doesn't tell us about all of the things that Gideon talked about, but rather it tells us of what he did. When we think of Samson, beloved, when we think of the three men in the fiery furnace, in other words, they could have sat there and told us stories all that they wanted to, saying, you know what? Boy, I'll tell you what, we'll go into the fiery furnace before we will ever bow. But the truth is, beloved, it is when they actually wound up in the furnace.
Right.
This is what blesses and encourages our hearts. Now, we must also realize today, beloved, once again, oftentimes people will talk about faith, they will sing about faith, they will teach and preach about faith, but very few are the ones who are actually living by it. We look back today at the great acts of faith, their great displays of faith, and our faith is strengthened by their examples. In other words, beloved, as I think about Daniel, when they told Daniel, Daniel, you better not be praying anymore, and Daniel said, you know what, I'm going to pray anyway, it doesn't matter. Beloved, when I hear about the things that these people were willing to go through, it encourages my heart and it strengthens me with a greater resolve to serve the Lord no matter what.
Amen.
But beloved, the trials and afflictions, calamities and sufferings, these are the food of faith, whether we like it or not.
Right.
Now think about this. I know everybody's excited over this chicken soup. Amen. The leftovers. In other words, beloved, the things that strengthen our faith, the things that will build our faith up, if you will, it is the trials that we go through in life. It is the calamities that we go through in life. It is all of the sufferings that we go through in life. In other words, when we read through the Hebrews chapter number 11 here, we don't read about, well, David went out and laid on the beach for a while and said, boy, my faith is strengthened to serve the Lord when I hear about that. If I would read about Samson spending time in a condominium having a foot spa every morning and having a manicure and pedicure, I wouldn't sit back and say, boy, I'll tell you what, that Samson, he really drives me to serve the Lord in a greater capacity. You see, beloved, it is through all of their sufferings that they went through, and these are the things that greatly encourage our hearts. Beloved, and yet, as we have said, trials and afflictions, calamities, suffering, these are the things that are the very food of faith. Now think about it, beloved. If you see a man that's very, very muscular and he's slim, trim, and everything else, you know what? In our mind, we would probably sit back and say, you know what? Probably that guy exercises. Probably he spends time jogging or lifting weights, whatever it is that he does. He looks to be in good shape. But the thing about it is, beloved, in our minds we will associate that if you're healthy, if you will, then probably you're exercising also. Now here's the point, beloved. When it comes to us having our faith exercised, if you will, we need to realize that it is when the trials, the afflictions, the calamities, when these things come into our life, these are the things that strengthen our faith. But yet here's what I also want us to see today. These are also the very things, I don't know about you folks, but these are also the very things that I strive to avoid with every fiber of my being.
Right. Yeah.
Lord, I don't want any trials in my life. Lord, take away all the suffering. I don't want any calamities in my life. Lord, I want everything to be good with the finances. I want all the family to be healthy. I don't want to have any problems whatsoever in the church. Lord, this is what I want in my life. Where then, beloved, is the opportunity to live by faith? Where is the opportunity to be able to put our faith on display? Let me ask you folks the question today. If we were to ask your grandchildren 50 years from now, what were some of the acts of faith you have seen in the lives of your grandparents? What would they say? If we could ask your grandkids, Brother Bennett, it's easy for me. I don't have grandkids yet, amen. But if we could ask your grandkids, what are some of the acts of faith that you've seen in the life of your grandfather, your grandmother? What are the things that you've seen in their life that have strengthened your faith, if you will? Beloved, if we were to take where we'd read there in Hebrews chapter number 12, we read first of all there about the witness, or the people who had their faith tested, if you will. The Bible says there in Hebrews chapter number 12, and I realize I'm in a room full of preachers, most of which are older than I am, all of them smarter than I am, amen. But at any rate, when the Bible says, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, I could be wrong, and you may disagree with me if you'd like to, but I believe that the witnesses there will be the people that will wind up looking upon us, beloved. Some people will take and say, no, that's the people in heaven that are watching us right now. I have a pretty strong inkling the people in heaven have more to do than look down Amen. Upon me.
Amen.
But you see, beloved, the point is that just as Samson had a witness, and his witness is us. Just as Barak had a witness, and his witness, beloved, is us, if you will. In other words, all of these people there, they have witnesses, and we're not looking back upon their life. And as we take and say, boy, I'll tell you what, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wound up in that fiery furnace, the fact that they had such great resolve to push on and serve God, it makes me look at my problems in life and take and say, man, I'm not facing anything like what they face. If they can endure, if God's sustaining grace is sufficient in their life, then it will certainly be sufficient in mine.
Amen.
Beloved, once again, if we were to ask all of the young people here today to stand up, if I were to ask my children to stand up, they can say, Sia, what acts of faith have you seen in my life? What have you seen in my life that has allowed you to be able to see my faith in God? You see, beloved, faith in and of itself, it is an invisible thing. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. It's not like I can come over here and pull out a handful of faith and say, here, brother, let me give you a handful of my faith. There is no way for me to be able to show my faith, if you will, but by my works.
Amen.
Otherwise, it is invisible. Now, here's what I want us to see, though. If we push the question, beloved, how have we shown our faith active in the lives of our children, of our grandchildren, of the young people here in the church? How have we shown that active? What would be your answer? Don't think about anyone else. Don't think about another pastor. Don't think about anyone else. How have you shown your faith to be real in your life? Beloved, some people will sit back and say, well, you know what? I know that the faith of my mother, my father, my grandmother, my grandfather, I know it was real because they went to church all the time. It's good, but so do the Mormons.
Right.
Where do we go from there?
Right.
If we will only point to our church attendance to be able to show our acts of faith, we can look at many denominations, beloved, that they're also faithful in church attendance. Some of them may be more faithful than we are. What do we do now? Someone may take and say, you know what? I know the faith in the life of my mom or dad or whoever. I know it was real because of all the time that they spent in prayer. Beloved, there are some people who will actually move out onto a mountaintop and live there for weeks on end and spend time in prayer and nothing but prayer. They don't know God. I'm not saying all of them don't know God, but many of them do not. Beloved, what things have we done in our lives to show our faith to our children? Beloved, some people may sit back and take and say, well, you know what? I know that the faith of my forefathers was real because they faithfully paid their tithes. So do many lost people. Now, I don't want anyone to say, Brother Spears, you mean to tell us church attendance is bad, and paying tithes is bad, praying is bad? Absolutely not. It's not bad at all. And we should be doing those things, beloved. But what I'm saying today is this. There should be some things in our lives where people are able to take and say, you know what? God showed Himself strong on their behalf at that time. It was something mighty there. Beloved, is our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as Baptists no better than some of the cults? Think about it. Is our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we as Baptists, is it no better than some of the cults? Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of James chapter number 2. The Bible tells here in James chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 14, the Bible says, What doeth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doeth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works.
Amen.
The Bible goes on to say there, Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Oftentimes when I witness to people that will make a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I will ask them, How has God changed your life? You see, beloved, so many times people will sit back and say, Yes, yes, I know the Lord. I am a child of God. Oh, I'll tell you what, I know for sure that I'm a Christian. But if I ask them, from the time before you were saved until now, what change has God made in your life? And if people will sit back and say, Well, really, there's not been any kind of a change, then you've got a problem.
Amen. Amen.
Beloved, one brother had likened it. He said, You know, if someone were to come up to me and they were to come into the church building and they'd say, Whoo, boy, I had a hard morning. Say, Really? What happened to you? And they'd say, I was walking to church. I got on the train track. Boom! A train hit me full speed. Man, it hurt. And I just barely got on in here to church. You know what I would do? I'd sit back and say, Really? A train hit you? You're still walking? You're still living? You're still breathing? You're still up and about moving around on your own? Was it a small train? No, it was a big train. It was a speeding locomotive. And it had a bunch of cars behind it. Really, you came into contact with such a large train, but yet it didn't harm you? Wouldn't that be hard to believe? You'd hate to call him a liar. So I'd say Brother Bennett thinks you're a liar. Amen? Just to keep me out of trouble. But the point, beloved, is this. So many people, they claim that they have come into contact with the living God, but yet there's never been an impact made on their lives. Their life still continues on just as it always has. Beloved, you cannot come into contact with the same God that created the heavens and the earth and go away unchanged.
Amen.
It will not happen. Beloved, the world says that all religions are the same, and we know that this is not true. But if you were on the outside looking in, what would you think? If you were on the outside looking in other words, if you were to take and stick your head into the window of one kind of a church service, maybe you'd stick your head into the window of a charismatic service and be able to look around in there and say, Boy, I'll tell you what, those people are happy, they're excited, they're on fire for the Lord. And then stick your head into the window of a Baptist service. Who would you say is the happiest to be serving the Lord?
Right.
Now, beloved, I'm certainly not promoting any charismatic activity here, not one iota. But I'll tell you folks what, there ought to be a burning desire in the hearts of the Lord's people to serve Him. Beloved, these people, if you will, just as the people there in Hebrews chapter 11, they also had witnesses, so do we. Beloved, do they see? Will our children see that Christ has made a difference in our lives? The great news is that if you're here, and still upright in your pew, it's not too late and the race is not over. The Lord still has a work for you to do. Beloved, you know what? There are sometimes that young people, boy, it's... I oftentimes tell people that I'm in a catch-22 because if I refer to myself as a young person, then the young people get mad at me. If I refer to myself as an old person, then the old people get mad at me. Amen? But no matter what age we are, if we're truly a child of God, there's still a work that the Lord has for us to do. A work to do, beloved. Many of the people listed here in Hebrews chapter number 11, the activation of their faith or the surrender of their will, it only took but a moment. I will. Now, beloved, I want you to get this. I'm not going to get in on your time, Brother Minnie. If I do, I'll give you some of my lunch. Amen. When the Lord took and He got a hold of Moses and had Moses build the ark. Everybody wake up. Brother Whalen's with me. When the Lord took and got a hold of Noah and said, Noah, I want you to build me an ark. How long do you suppose it took Noah to say yes? I think it was pretty short order, wasn't it?
Amen.
I would say he took and said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. I don't really know what an ark is. I don't really know how you want it built or anything else. But yes, Lord, I will do it. If that's what you want me to do, I'm your man, Lord. I will do whatever you want me to do. And it only took a minute for him to have that consent to the Lord. I will follow you. Yes, I will do it. But yet, Lord, or yet what we must realize is that the activation of their faith or the surrender of their will, it only took a minute. Whether the Lord said, build me an ark, Noah. Whether the Lord said unto Abraham, all for thy son. Whether the Lord said unto Moses, forsake the land of Egypt. When the Lord said unto Rahab, receive the spies. You see, in other words, beloved, even with Rahab, when the Lord said, receive the spies, hide them for me. It wasn't one of those things that Rahab sat back and said, you know what? Give me 6 months to pray about it, Lord, and then I'll make up my mind. It's now or never. Basically, that's the way it is. It's now or never, Rahab. Now, beloved, I'm certainly not a fatalist. I do not believe that the spies would have wound up being killed. The Lord would have provided deliverance somehow or another for them. But when Rahab submitted unto the Lord's leading in her life, she ended up being blessed by it. Now, here's what I want us to see. Though the activation of their faith only took a minute, beloved, the carrying out of the activities of their faith lasted for many of them a lifetime. You see, Noah, he took and said, yes, Lord, I'll build the ark. I'll be the one to build it. When the Lord said, I want you to build me an ark, he said, okay, I'll build it, Lord. He consented one time. He surrendered one time, if you will. But then the effects of that surrender, they lasted for a very long time. And the blessings of that effect lasted even longer. You see, here's what I want us to realize, beloved. Had Noah taken and said, Lord, I'm not building an ark. That's ridiculous. What do you mean, build an ark? I don't know that much about wood. You're talking about a flood of great waters. I've never seen rain. No, Lord, I'm not going to do it. It doesn't make sense to me, so I refuse. Had that been his attitude, beloved, he would have lost great blessings. Folks, here's what I want us to see today. Their heart's cry could have been, Lord, make me useful in the life of someone else. You see, our faith, beloved, it should impact the lives of other people. It should impact the lives of other people. And if it doesn't, then there's a problem. I want us to see this here, beloved, because as they took and they consented, they said, yes, Lord, we will go ahead and do it. They laid aside the weight and the sin which so easily beset them because their faith in God and their desire to serve Him, their desire to display His glory. Look with me to 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2, beginning there in verse number 9. The Bible tells us, but ye are a chosen generation. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Beloved, why were we chosen? Why is it that we're a royal priesthood, if you will? That we should show forth praises of Him who hath called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. You see, beloved, our primary job here upon this earth is to show forth praises unto our Lord and King. And if we fail to do that, then we're failing. Beloved, we've said it before, if I were going to hire a carpenter, if I had woodwork to do and I hired a carpenter, and I'd take and say, hey, I need carpentry work done. Come on in. Now you're a carpenter. Is that right? Yes, I'm a carpenter. I'd say, well, we need this done. We need this done. And he'd stop me and say, well, hold on for just a minute. I am allergic to wood, but I can still be a carpenter. I don't know how to drive a nail, don't know how to cut wood, don't really even like to touch wood, but I will do any carpentry work that you need to have done. You see, beloved, when it comes to we, the people of God, our primary purpose in life is to bring forth praises unto our Lord and Savior. And if we fail at that, imagine the carpenter saying, I can take trash out. We don't need someone to take trash out. I can do dishes. Dishes need to be done, but that's not the position we're hiring you for. I can do a lot of other things, but we need you to be a carpenter. I can't do carpentry work. Yes, I claim to be a carpenter, but I don't want to do the work. Beloved, our primary calling in life is to bring forth praises, give glory to our Lord and God. If you will face the choice with living for 20 years and slightly glorifying God, or dying tomorrow and greatly glorifying God, which would you choose? Think about this, beloved. If you were faced with a choice today, if someone came up to you and said, you know what, we will give you 24 more hours to live and you can glorify God in a great and mighty way in the next 24 hours, or you can live another 20 years and not hardly even do anything for the glory of God, which would you rather do? And I'm with you. I'm as selfish as most of you are. The truth is, I'd probably say, I'd really like to spend time with my kids. I mean, forgive me if it sounds selfish, but I'd like to spend time with my kids. But beloved, the truth is this. The answer to your question in that, it reveals who it is that we're living for. Whether we're living for the Lord. Now, oftentimes the Lord will not put us in that position that we have to make that choice. But sometimes He will. Sometimes He will do that, beloved. Now, in closing, you know what it means when a Baptist preacher says in closing, don't you? What's it mean, brother? Absolutely nothing. I ask of you today. You know, beloved, we talk about oftentimes revival or having our hearts moved, our hearts touched. For those who profess to be saved today, would you be willing to come before the Lord and take and say, Lord, give me the opportunity to put my faith on display. Give me that opportunity and mean it with all your heart. Would you be willing to come before the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know what it might involve. Now, beloved, for some people, asking the Lord to give you the opportunity to put your faith on display, for some people, it may mean that the Lord puts you in a traffic jam and you have to wait patiently through it. For someone else, though, it may be a call to the mission field. For someone else, it may be a sickness. But think about this. Are you willing to come before the Lord today and ask the Lord, Lord, give me the opportunity to put my faith on display. Give me the opportunity to show the world, to be a witness for You. Show them how great You are and You're working in my life. Beloved, I would ask, if you're willing to ask that of the Lord, do not do it tritely. You see, so many people, they come before the Lord and they offer up their prayers before the Lord in such a manner as, now He lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep, and it's almost like a robot is saying it. One fellow that I used to know, he is a missionary and it's only a joke, but he'd take and say, boy, I got such a big prayer list, I had to put it on my computer, and now for sake of time, I just have to bring it all up on the screen, push enter, and that's how I pray, amen. So oftentimes, though, beloved, when people talk about the Lord and their relationship with Him, they do it in such a right fashion. Beloved, we need people who will be witnesses for the glory of God today, now more than any other time. I wonder, are you willing to say, Lord, give me the opportunity to put my faith on display? Thank you very much, brother.
Amen.